Amen. Now we're reading tonight from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, this chapter that deals with the Passover. And of course, there are many folk of the Jewish people who to this day would celebrate, even at this time of the year, this Passover feast. Because verse 14 says, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." But one great Bible commentator of a bygone day, he said that this 12th chapter of the book of Exodus could be named the picture book of redemption. He said because it contains one of the clearest foreshadowings of God's way of salvation through the blood of the Lamb. And of course, we as God's people, tonight we remember those words of the apostle in 1 Corinthians in chapter 5 and in verse 7, where Paul said, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." So we have the authority from the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, to look at this wonderful chapter of the Old Testament Scriptures, the story of the Passover feast, the night of the Passover in the land of Egypt, when God smote the Egyptians and when God delivered his people out of the land of bondage. We have the authority, therefore, to look at it and to draw lessons from it about God's wonderful, full, and free salvation. As you know, God raised up a deliverer in Moses. God sent Moses to Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He had a message, "Let my people go." But Pharaoh wouldn't hear, and Pharaoh hardened his heart against the people of God. And after the plagues that came, then this last night, this judgment, this night of the Passover would come. And even in all the darkness and the frogs and the murine and the lice and the boils and the river turned to blood and the flies, all these things that happened, Pharaoh hardened his heart until God would smite the firstborn in every home in Egypt. And only those who were safe and secure and sheltered under the blood of the Lamb would be safe. So this is one of the great, what we might describe as dramas or dramatic historical record in God's precious word this night of the Passover. But I want to think with you just about three very simple thoughts. And I want you to think with me about the land and its bondage. You notice that verse 1 says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt." God's people for over 400 years had been in the land of Egypt. The Bible reminds us that they served hard, and there were evil taskmasters who made them serve with rigor. And they were slaves. They were enslaved in Egypt. There arose a king, a pharaoh in Egypt who knew not Joseph. Things went from bad to worse. God's people became slaves down there in the land of Egypt. And when we think about their situation, we remember, of course, that throughout the scriptures, Egypt is always taken as a picture of this old world in which we are living, with all its pomp and splendor and pleasures, with all its license and liberty for sin. Well, for 430 years, people had been enslaved, and they were there in this world, and they were slaves. The Bible tells us over there in the Gospel of John, John chapter 8, the Bible says, "Whoso committeth sin, the same is the servant or the word is the bond slave of sin. Now, men and women, in this world in which we live today, people are living for the world and what it can give. People are living for the possessions of this world, for the pleasures of this world, for the pursuits of this world, for power in this world. And Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he would gain the whole world and then lose his own soul? It would profit him absolutely nothing, and his soul would be lost in a Christless hell for all eternity. But you see, men and women are infatuated and they're enticed by the things of this world. And although they would deny that they are enslaved to the world, yet in reality that is their situation. Over there in the Gospel of John, in John's Gospel in chapter 8, the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching. And there were those, of course, who criticized him and who ostracized him and who sought even to take his life. But the Lord Jesus Christ in John's Gospel and in chapter 8, Jesus said in verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, listen to their answer, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And these people, as they heard the Lord Jesus Christ, they said, we are the children of Abraham. And we have never been in bondage to any man. How do you say, therefore, that we are enslaved? And that's just the answer that men and women give today. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Men and women in this world are slaves to money. They're slaves to pleasure. They're slaves some to drink. They're slaves some to drugs. They're slaves to immorality. But their cry is, we are not enslaved. I remember, as we fella growing up in the city of Belfast, going to gospel meetings in the gospel hall. There were children's meetings. And I remember one night there was a man who came. He was a special speaker for the children's meeting. He was asking for volunteers. So when they asked for volunteers, me and my friend, we were always to the fore for volunteers. And he wanted us to come up, and he had a piece of string, a piece of cord, and he tied it round us to see could we break it. And of course, we thought we were strong. We wrestled a wee minute or two, and finally we broke the piece of string with a great deal of sweat and puffing and huffing and pushing and shoving. But then he got us up again, and he went round and round and round and round and round and round until we were there like an Egyptian mummy. We couldn't move. We could hardly breathe. And he said, now, boys, can you break it? There was no way. It was impossible. And he began to tell us, you know, that's what sin does. That's the way sin affects people. People sometimes start out and they say, well, you know, I can break this habit of sin. I can stop taking the drink anytime I want. I can stop smoking. I can stop vaping. I can stop injecting. I can stop snorting drugs. I can just stop whenever I want until they try to stop. And then they realize just what an awful hold and grip and power that sin has on their life. And even like these people who came to Christ in John 8, they even denied that fact. But listen, they were in bondage, Abraham's seed, for 430 years in Egypt. They were in bondage in Babylon. They were in the captivity. And even when they are speaking these words to the Lord Jesus Christ, they are living under the dominion and the power of Rome over their land. And yet they say to Jesus, we have never been in bondage to any man. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, says the hymn writer. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Men and women, we have to recognize that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And in this world in which we live, we're just like those Israelites in the land and in its bondage down there in Egypt. But thank God there was salvation from their bondage. Moses made a great choice. Does not the apostle write in Hebrews 11 that by faith, Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But I want you to notice how salvation comes about. In this passage, we have read about the people who were in the land of bondage. But then the Bible goes on to speak to us about the Lamb and its blood. God had a message for Moses and Aaron to bring to the people. And he says in verse 3, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. They were to take a lamb. As you read on through the passage of Scripture, we read how that lamb was to be a spotless lamb. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Now you remember, we quoted it this morning, when John the Baptist came, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. He could look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He could designate the Lord Jesus. He could say, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and he is the spotless and the crimeless and the faultless and the sinless Lamb of God. He's the impeccable Christ. He knew no sin. He never thought a sinful deed. He never said a sinful word. He never performed a sinful act. And yet he, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, was made sin for us on the cross of Calvary. The Bible says there, the Lamb, in verse 5, shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. We could say it was strong. It was in its prime. It was strong. Verse 6 says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. It was a separated lamb. It was kept. And it was kept separate from other, and it was there separated. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, as a young man of 30 years of age, began to go on his ministry round about, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Until at 33 years of age, they nailed him to an old rugged cross. But he was strong, and he was separated. He ate and he drank with sinners, but yet the Bible says he was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. And yet he loved them, and he longed to see them saved, and he loved them so much that he went all the way to the cross to die for them. But he was the sinless one. And verse reminds us, he was the lamb for a house. He was a substitutionary lamb. He bore our sins, says Peter, in his own body on the tree. He was the slain lamb. For the Bible says, the 14th day of the same month, verse 6, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Remember that crowd who cried out on Palm Sunday, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then the crowd who cried out, away with him, crucify him. Crowd that said, we'll take Barabbas rather than Jesus. And when Pilate questioned them further, they said, his blood be on us and upon our children. And yet we read later on in the history of the early church as the apostles preached, that they came and they cried to them, do ye intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Exactly what they said at Pilate's judgment, his blood be on us and upon our children. And then through the preaching of the gospel, and they were convicted of their sin and what they had done, they said, you intend to bring his blood on us? He was slain. And as the Apostle Paul says, Christ was our Passover sacrificed for us. The Bible says in verse 7, symbol, they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And God says there, this is the night of the Lord's Passover. And he says in verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. God says, when I see the blood, thank God tonight for each one in this meeting, each one listening to the sound of her voice online. And you can say, praise God, I have been to Jesus for the cleansing power. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I cannot see the blood only by faith, but God sees the blood. And God says, when I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. I will protect you. I will guard you from the destroying, from the death angel smiting those in the land of Egypt. So the Bible speaks about the land and its bondage. Men and women, as it were, sinners by birth and by nature, by practice, under the condemnation, the wrath and the judgment of God. It speaks about the Lamb and his blood. Thank God that the blood of bulls and goats that could never take away sin. But as the hymn writer says, but Christ, the Lamb of God, the very special blood that vicariously shed blood, that visibly sprinkled blood, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed, thank God, for me. And we dare not trample underfoot, as Paul wrote to the Hebrews in Hebrews 10 and 29, the blood of the everlasting covenant. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Bunyan wrote in Pilgrim's Progress that Pilgrim found the grave for his sin, and the burden of his heart rolled away through the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross of Calvary. Then the Bible reminds us here in this passage of Scripture of the life and its blessings. You see, the Bible says this shall be a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. They were to keep this feast throughout all their generations. And there are many, many blessings that are spoken of. You see, those who heard the word from the lips of Moses or Aaron, and by faith they took that decision, they got the lamb, even should they share it with their neighbors, but they got a lamb for the house, and they kept the lamb, and they did what God demanded. They fulfilled the demand of God. They applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintel of the door. And they found, thank God, deliverance. And they were brought out of Egypt. They were protected. The firstborn was safe and sound. And they were then directed as God led them and guided them by a fiery, cloudy pillar. I thank God their life was to be changed. They're leaving the slavery and the world and the things of Egypt behind them. And God is going to lead them and bring them into the promised land. But you notice there's an interesting description there as the Bible puts it for us. The Bible says in verse 3 at the end of the verse, a lamb for an house. And then you'll notice in verse 4 at the very end, his eating shall make your count for the lamb. There's only one lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says in verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish. Now maybe, dear friend, tonight in this service, you have heard about a lamb. You've heard about the Lamb of God, the sinless, spotless Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the one who says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And you realize tonight, and you've been brought up maybe in the gospel, in the things of God, and you know tonight salvation is not in Buddha, salvation is not in Muhammad, salvation is not in the church, salvation is not in confirmation, salvation is not in baptism, salvation is not in good works, salvation is not by good deeds or being good citizens, salvation is in Christ. You have heard about the message of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But I wonder, can you say like these people, he's my lamb. Moses says, your lamb. Our dear sister, Miss Winnie Laverty, who for many years represented Dunmurry Free Church on the Missionary Council. Winnie used to sing around the gospel meetings. Lovely singer. And she used to sing a lovely old gospel hymn. Jesus is a friend of mine. Is he yours? Is he yours? And all about the Savior and his love divine. Is he yours? Is he yours? Can you say tonight like David, speaking about the Lord, that he is my shepherd? The one who is the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. The one who is the great shepherd. The one who is the chief shepherd and the bishop of our souls. But David says, the Lord is my shepherd. You know about a lamb. You know about the lamb. Is he your lamb? Because unless he's your lamb, and unless you know him, and you have received him as your Savior, then, dear friend, you can't be saved. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I trust that tonight, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, maybe you've thought about it many a time. Maybe you've been, as it were, on the brink of coming to Christ in a gospel meeting or gospel mission. Maybe you've heard the word from childhood and you've been brought up in it and you know the way, but you've never come and received the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Then I urge you, I plead with you, come tonight. Come and receive him. For he says, whosoever, and that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. What a wonderful opportunity. It's for you. And what a wonderful simplicity. All you have to do is call. And he says, here's a certainty. You shall be saved. If I can help you in any way, Have you to come to Christ? Friends, speak to us at the door. Just come back in again. Wait, talk to us. We'll gladly open this book and show you God's way, how you can be saved, how you can know that you're saved, how you can know that your sins are forgiven and that it is well with your soul. But don't go away without the Savior. Let's bow together, please, in prayer and bring our meeting to a close. And again, as I said, I'm your servant for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake. If I can be of any help or any assistance to you, please don't go away without telling us of your need. Father in heaven, we thank thee again tonight for the simple message of the gospel of Christ. And we thank thee, Lord, for the one who loved us, who gave himself for us at the place called Calvary, the Lamb of God, the one who taketh away the sin of the world. We ask thee now, Lord, to bless your word to every willing heart. And again, Lord, should there be one without thee, give them that grace to come and receive the Lord Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. Separate us with thy blessing. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain and abide with us all now until the Lord Jesus Christ comes or calls. Amen.